Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Eric Zorn, can you still get tickets to Songs of Good Cheer this year?
Yeah, there's some left, and they're going to be releasing a few more. They have this weird system at the Old Town School where they hold back some tickets, and then they sell them as the time goes on. So, yeah, there's still some seats available to those shows. It's December 7th through 10th. Mary Schmeek and I are hosting and fronting this incredible band that we put together. And we have songbooks, and everyone sings songs of the season together. And it's a great tradition, and we're really thrilled that you're going to be part of it this year.
Yeah, well, the last day, I will be one of the guest MCs, if you will. I'll stand on stage and say, here they are. And then I get off the stage. And then every now and then they'll say, John, get on up here and sing this song with us. And I stand about 40 feet away from a microphone that is also turned off. And I sing along with the crowd. It's a lot of fun.
I wonder if they turn off my microphone occasionally, too. You never know. There's a sound guy back there. And his task is to make the band sound really good. So yeah. we never know what he's up to. But no, people love to see our guest MCs. And as you know, people like to come up and meet you, and it's a really good time, and I hope people come out. The oldtownschool.org is how you find tickets. So
oldtownschool.org.
Yeah,
by the way,
really well.
It is the Christmassy thing. It's a very Christmas thing, and so you do sing some traditional songs, but I would say more than not, you're singing songs that either you don't know or aren't top of the mind for Christmas. Have you already selected your playlist for this year? I suppose the show's already blocked out, huh?
Oh, yeah, the show's totally blocked out. We did a full run-through just this last Sunday. The thing is, we've got these professional musicians who join us, and like our star saxophone player is going to Puerto Rico for the next month, basically. So we had to do the entire show before he left. So we were able to put it all together. But yeah, we have a selection of familiar carols, obviously. And then there's some songs that come from other traditions that are really fun to sing along with, and some old songs. It's a really wonderful mix. And it's the result of this collaboration we have between these musicians with a whole variety of experiences. We have a Hawaiian woman in our cast. We have a guy from Sonas de Mexico, the band that does a lot of traditional Mexican music. And so we just got a really nice cast of people, and they bring us new material every year. And you're going to walk away singing a song that you didn't know before is what I promise people.
And it's only moderately chatty. You and Mary do speak a little bit. If you spoke a little more, I wouldn't mind, but it's going to be December 10th. Well, pardon me, the 7th through the 10th. I'll be on stage with you guys Sunday the 10th. All right, Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, which you can get for free if you just email ericzorn@gmail.com. Many, many thousands of you had, and for a small fee, you can get the premium edition. Losing at the ballot box, one major issue, continues to be important. And I presume you're talking not about the midterm, but about last Tuesday's elections, right?
Well, yeah, the abortion has been on the ballot in, I think, like 7 states so far, and some of them very red states like Ohio. And voters keep telling anti-abortion rights people that they are not in favor of these extremely strict crackdowns, these 6-week bans that they are proposing in various places, and they basically want to enshrine reproductive rights to some degree that were taken away when Roe v. Wade went down. So what I'm writing about today was how Alderman Bill Conway in the 34th Ward, which is sort of West Loop and Greektown and that area over there, has proposed an ordinance that would essentially cut down on the noise, because the protesters have ramped up the volume at these women's health clinics, these abortion providing places. And they have bullhorns and loudspeakers, and they try to harass women who are coming into the center for services. And they call this counseling, but a lot of it's just harassment. And it's been going on for years, and apparently just the volume has gotten to the point where the people who work at the clinic say they can't even do their jobs anymore. And so they're proposing a crackdown on the noise, creating a noise, an anti-noise ordinance, which is, you know, certain to be challenged in court. These are not new issues. And, you know, the courts have pretty much held that the protesters do have a right to be there. And I would certainly agree with that. I think that they don't have a right to get right up in the face of people and hassle them, or make it so that they can't do their jobs without distraction.
So what's the solution here, though? I mean, are they going to have a noise meter out? How do you determine one person's free speech and another person's harassment?
Well, that, of course, that's the issue, and that's one of the reasons that a couple of the aldermen had objected to this ordinance, which is that there's no definition as to the decibel level and so on, and that's, you know, that's going to be the rub when they create what, you know, what are called bubbles, these protest bubble zones, where, you know, you have to give people a certain amount of space when they arrive at a clinic, when they walk into the clinic. You can't encroach upon them, I think, within about 8 feet or something like that. There is that limit
eight
that they want to create. Yeah, I mean that they. I mean, it's a tough. It's always tough in a free society, right? You want people to be able to speak and protest. We all want that. At the same time, you want people to be able to. You know, there is a right to be left alone in some respects. There was a quote from a Supreme Court decision back in 1928 where he says that, you know, the right to be left alone is, quote, the most comprehensive of rights and the right most valued by civilized men. It was 1928. This year, but if it were 2028, it would be civilized men and women. That we want to feel that we do have that right to be left alone. And balancing that with the right to protest and the right to be heard is always challenging. And you don't want it to be too issue specific, right? You don't want to say, well, we'll let people who are in favor of abortion rights protest, but we won't let people who are opposed. That's, you know, that's very un-American right there. So it's going to be challenged in court. Always is when these ordinances come up. But I really do feel strongly that people should have a right to obtain the legal services. In Illinois, it's legal. The legal services they want without being unduly hassled.
And they would probably argue that they are, in fact, acquiring those services, performing those jobs, but it's difficult for them to do so. And just to play the devil's advocate for a minute, suppose it was a service or a group whose business you and I didn't agree with at all. Suppose it was the headquarters for the KKK and the people were coming in and out and we wanted to stand there and yell at them. That's a bad analogy maybe, but you know what I'm saying.
Let's say something a little bit like say it's a place where they bring minks to be slaughtered and made into fur coats, and it's downtown, and you object to that as a matter of animal rights. It's something like that where it's not quite as obvious as the KKK, but yeah, I see that, and I think that, and that's why I say I think you need to give people a right to protest, a right to be heard, but I don't think you have a right to impede their progress. I don't think you have a right to say lie to them the way they do at these so-called family planning clinics and these pregnancy crisis centers where they try to lure pregnant women in by making them think that they're offering abortion services when they don't. Mm-hmm. I think that's deceptive and wrong. But at the same time, yeah, it is really important to preserve the right to organize and protest and gather on the streets and make your opinions heard.
Eric,
whether it's effective or not, I don't know.
Do you think this is analogous to, okay, so what's speech and what's harassment? Is this analogous in a way to this civilian commission in Chicago that's going to determine what's a hate group and what's not a hate group? The idea being that maybe you would not allow somebody to be a police officer or punish somebody if they are, if they're a member of the Proud Boys. But what if they're a member of some other organization whose membership is legal and somebody has a right to be in it? And maybe it's not so clear if they're a quote unquote hate group. Who determines what groups police officers can be in or not?
I think it's a really excellent question, John, and it also obtains to this what's going on right now with the protests over the invasion, the attack on Gaza, and the Hamas's attack on Israel. You have a lot of protesters who are out saying that, you know, we need a ceasefire, and there are people who say that calling for a ceasefire or saying that you believe that the land belongs to the Palestinians and not the Israelis is a hate crime. And there are organizations that have been banned from college campuses around the country because there's a feeling that these organizations are in support of Palestine are anti-Semitic. And that's a tough debate to have, and it's one that we're seeing play out, which is one person's political opinion is another person's hate speech, and that's a really tough thing to litigate, I think. And there's some things that look really obvious to us, but where do you draw that line? It's a tough question.
Well, I think it is obvious that saying I support Palestinians is not an inherently anti-Semitic statement, but I don't know that some people hear it that way. But after a month of watching this war unfold, I think any civilized person would see what's happening to some of those people in Gaza is, what's the end of that sentence, John? Unfortunate?
Well, horrifying, right? I mean, in some cases, it's just horrifying. Babies who have been left to be removed from incubators and are lying outside, kind of huddled together to try to keep them warm. They're premature babies, and they're probably going to die.
Okay, but let me finish that thought, though, if I may, Eric. And that's where I think my eyes and my sentiment is right now. And that is not to say that, you know, what happened to Israel is not unconscionable, or that Hamas is the reason that a lot of these kids are dying, or they're an integral part of it. So all of those things are true. But in the meantime, you ought to be able to say that what is happening to Palestinian babies is horrifying, and we ought to do whatever we can to stop that. Mm-hmm. And that to me should be a very safe statement.
But it's not, John. Face it. I mean, it really isn't at this point. When you're talking, I mean, there's an essay, I believe it was in the Tribune today. I did doing a lot of reading this morning. We're saying that a calling for a ceasefire is an anti-Israeli position, and I mean, they didn't go as far as say it's anti-Semitic, but those who call for a ceasefire are terrible people, and I don't presume to know enough about exactly what's going on there militarily to say that a ceasefire is a smart thing to do. I look at these images and I hear about the 11,000 Palestinians. I mean, and this comes from Doctors Without Borders in the United Nations. This isn't the reports of Hamas. 11,000 Palestinians have been killed, many of them children, and think that is something that the world should not stand for. Now, there are, of course, other things the world should not stand for as well, including especially that October 7th attack. And balancing all that out and balancing those equities is really difficult.
And it goes without saying, well, maybe it does go without saying, but I might also say that I think Israel has a right to exist as a nation state. So what's the solution, John? I don't know. All I was talking about was the children I see on TV. But yet that is a perilous statement to make these days. John, I think it's important to remind people that Planned Parenthood does not only perform abortions, they provide a wide range of women's health reproductive services like pap smears and breast exams. And 309 said about our conversation with Eric Zorn, Palestinian citizens do not deserve to die. I think the conundrum for you, for all of us, may be that you could both go to a pro-Israel rally today and a pro-Palestinian rally today and feel conflicted and not conflicted. I think that's where a lot of us are right now, and that's why everybody seems to be unhappy. You can't exactly hug it out. Eric Zorn's on the line. We're talking with the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel about a survey that you referenced about hugging. Catch me up on this, Eric.
Well, I made an observation last week in my newsletter that I said, you know, that COVID-19 may not be done with us, but we're done with COVID-19 is my observation, that I see people shaking hands now and hugging and all that. And I just feel like, yes, it's still a big threat out there, but I don't see people wearing masks much. It was just this kind of offhand thing that I mentioned. And this got some reader response talking about hugging. And people were saying, well, gee, I really, you know, I still like to hug people. It's the human touch and it feels really good. And one woman wrote that she had gone a year during COVID without hugging another person. And she wept when she hugged somebody and how badly she'd missed this. And other people saying that I hate all this hugging. This is not my way. This is this Midwestern tradition that people are hugging each other and it's just too intimate. So I just wrote that, you know, I've just become more of a hugger as I've gotten older. It's not, you know, not these huge embraces, but you know, kind of, and you know, John, you know me, when we see each other, I usually, you know, clasp you around the shoulders in a friendly way, and that's me. And so I asked people where they were on hugging. So where are you on? The question was hugging good friends upon meeting. Usually no, usually yes, or never.
Now I do half a shoulder.
Yeah. That's hugging. That's a hug, isn't it?
It's a one arm around the back on the side. I kind of sally up to your side and I sort of squeeze you in horizontally.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm describing it, but yeah. I'm not. It's funny, Eric. I used to be. Two things changed me. One was most recently the pandemic. The other one was Me Too and just people's spaces. You don't want to be, you know, ill received. So I'm not the hugger I once was.
Really, I've become more of one, although I do agree that the Me Too thing has made me much more cautious about hugging female acquaintances.
Yeah.
But I might, you know, a little, but, you know, the sort of the arm around the shoulder, the pat on the back, you know, it's not the handshake feels too formal to me for friends. So the result here, usually no, so far, this is after about 300 votes, usually no, 28%, usually yes, 69%, and never 3%.
Okay, and that surprised me. That surprised me. 69% say yes to they usually hug.
It's like acquaintances, not the neighbor you see. Yeah.
I like this comment, though, from Lynn T. I loathe all this Midwestern hugging except for immediate family, but I suck it up. Still, the worst was a friend's mother who insisted on kissing on the mouth. Fist bump, please. No thanks.
Oh, no.
No thanks, Mrs. Smith. I'm good. I'm solid. We'll see you tomorrow. All right. I will see you tomorrow, at least via a Zoom call, and we'll record another episode of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Eric Zorn.
Look forward to it.
If you email ericzorn@gmail.com, he'll sign you up for his Picayune Sentinel newsletter, the likes of which you just heard here.